Welcome to Public Purpose Conversations, brought to you by IPA Tasmania. Today's IPA Tasmania podcast conversation is all about data, and not surprising, given that it features our very special guest, the Australian statistician, Dr. David Gruen, AO. His stellar career has included taking on numerous senior and executive roles within the Australian Public Service, including with the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet, the Federal Treasury, and the Reserve Bank of Australia. Dr. Gruen was appointed an Officer of the Order of Australia General Division in 2022 for distinguished service to public administration, economic research, business and education. He is joined in conversation by IPA Tasmania Vice President and General Manager of the Australian Bureau of Statistics Census and Population Division, Duncan Young.
Hello, welcome to today's podcast. It's Duncan Young here and I'm joined today by the Australian statistician, Dr. David Gruen. Welcome, David.
Very nice to be here, Duncan.
So I want to start out to try and understand your Tasmanian credentials a little. What's your favourite place in Tasmania?
So I come down to Tasmania, have done over many years, to go walking. And I guess I'd have to say my favourite place is the Overland Track, because I've done that three times with my wife and each of our three children, getting the experience individually.
Okay, well, give me a Tasmanian place that's on your bucket list, a place that you haven't been yet but you'd like to, or an activity you'd like to do.
I've done quite a lot of the walks in Tasmania. I guess on my bucket list, one thing I've kind of wondered about, I'm not sure that I'm actually going to do it, but one thing I've wondered about is rafting down the Franklin, because I was actually involved in saving the Franklin all those years ago. So having done that, rafting down the Franklin might be something that ought to be on my bucket list.
Sounds like a great thing, David. And how's your swimming?
Yeah, well, I am aware that you can get tossed out of those rafts and it actually can be quite dangerous. My swimming's okay, although probably not great if it's freezing.
I reckon it would be.
Yeah, no, it can be very cold.
What is your Tasmanian drink of choice?
So I think my Tasmanian drink of choice should be a Pinot Noir from a local winery.
Very nondescript. We'll try and keep it commercially non-sensitive here. But yeah, no. So if we've got this beautiful Pinot Noir from a local Tasmanian winery, you could have this drink with any Tasmanian, live or dead. It's someone you met, someone you haven't met. Who would you choose and why?
I think I'd have to choose Sir Roland Wilson, who was born in Tasmania and then had an extraordinarily distinguished career. He got two PhDs, I think one from the University of Chicago and one from Oxford. And then he went on to be the Australian statistician for an extended period. And after that was the head of the Commonwealth Treasury. And then he moved to the private sector and it probably wasn't the private sector. These two entities are now private sector entities, but were public sector entities at the time. So I think he ran Qantas and the Commonwealth Bank as well. So someone who had an extraordinarily distinguished career and a very eminent Tasmanian.
Thank you. And so maybe a bit about you, David. You're the head of a relatively recently established Australian Public Service data profession. Why has this profession been established?
So the Thodey Review is from David Thodey, who ran the review, and it was looking into ways in which the Australian Public Service could be made stronger. And one of the recommendations they made was that the public service should be areas of public service activity that were professionalised. And in response to that, the public service started with three professions: the HR profession, which is very obvious for what the public service does. To professionalise human resource management is clearly something worth doing. And then, as well as that, they took two, if you like, growth areas of the public service. One, digital, so a digital profession. Obviously, the public is increasingly wanting to interact with government via digital means. And the third profession that they set up was the data profession. And there are lots of synergies between data and digital, but they're not the same thing. So Each of these professions has a head, and I was made head of the data profession. So what is it seeking to do? It's seeking to build capability within the public service for all things data, and we do that across a range of dimensions.
Can you tell us a bit more about how we're trying to build data capability?
So one thing is to have a much bigger pipeline of people, a way for people to join the public service who have data skills. And so we have initiated, the Australian Bureau of Statistics, along with other departments, have started recruiting people who identify as data grads. So they've got some, they don't necessarily have to have done a degree in data science, but they do have to have quantitative background, and many of them do have specific data skills. But anyway, we've been recruiting data grads for public service departments and agencies, and we started with a 2021 intake, and we recruited 60 data grads across the system. And we're now in the late stages of the 2024 intake, and we are going to recruit probably 375 data grads across the APS. So there has been about 40 agencies and departments are part of this. So the demand for people with these skills has gone up pretty fast. Not everybody stays in the public service having been recruited that way, but quite a lot of them get to see just what an interesting life you can have working on public policy. And data skills are definitely a growth area, and an area where there's a hunger for people with those sort of skills right across the system.
So data skills, we're talking about bringing in people with sort of specialist kind of data skills, but data skills seem to be increasingly important for all of us in the public sector. And I'm sure there's people listening who the sheer mention of mathematics will break out into a bit of a cold sweat at remembering those lessons at school, and where it seemed like a different language, and sometimes it even was a different language. Any messages for people, or advice for people in the public service who might not feel as confident with data or maths?
I think one of the things that I'm keen to do as head of the data profession is to appeal not only to people for whom data is very much part of their career and the thing they're going to make a profession of, but also people who are going to be supervising others who have those skills but don't have them themselves. So there's a long and distinguished history of many people in the public service being generalists who are good at getting the best out of expertise. And I think for quite a lot of people, they have to have a passing knowledge. They have to realise what the nature of the evidence that's being brought to them, or what people who are data grads, what they're talking about. But having general skills and being able to make the best of others who have specialist skills is very much part of a successful public service career. And I guess I would encourage people not to be, we're not going to turn everyone into a statistician, heaven forbid, but having a passing understanding of what sort of concepts are being talked about and being able to supervise those sort of people and assess the sort of evidence that's brought forward is a skill worth building up.
So Chief Statistician says we're not turning everyone into statisticians.
Indeed.
Yeah, statistics necessary but not sufficient.
Yep.
How do you think data will change the public sector over the next 10 years?
I think there's been a fair bit of growth. Well, the first point to make is that the digital revolution has generated an enormous deluge of data. So we all interact through digital platforms. Those digital platforms generate data just as a byproduct. And I guess that was brought home to lots of people in the COVID pandemic when we discovered there were all sorts of data sources that I certainly didn't know existed, like reservations in restaurants around the world. So I saw charts on the news which showed just how much restaurant reservations had fallen. I didn't know such a data set existed, but that's just an example of where a digital platform has created a data set which is useful. And then there was the mobility data, and there was obviously data from health and more sort of standard economics. So there has been a huge growth in the amount of data that's available. Not all of it's useful, but increasingly both public sector and private sector are using these data sources to gain insight into important questions. And I think that process will continue to play out over the next 10 years. I don't think the public service is going to be totally transformed by all of this data, but it will be the case that there will be some more menial things that people will do less of and more sophisticated things that they'll do more of. And the hope is that that can feed into better evaluation of programs. And that's one of the holy grails of better data use, the fact that you can evaluate programs better and provide those people who are making decisions about public policy with a better understanding of what effects their policies are having.
Closer to home in the Australian Bureau of Statistics, how do you see the role of the ABS changing and evolving in this data landscape?
So we're getting both pull and push factors, and I'll explain what I mean by that. And this is a worldwide phenomenon that across the world, businesses and individuals are getting less willing to fill in surveys. So response rates are declining. In Australia, we look pretty good in comparison with plenty of other comparable countries, but it is still the case that our response rates are falling. And we are imposing a burden on the society by putting surveys in the field, and we have powers of compulsion, so people have to fill them in. So to the extent that we can have alternative data sources that don't require people to fill in surveys, that's a good thing. The push factor to push us in the direction of alternative data sources is simply that surveys are getting harder and more expensive to run to get a given response rate. And the pull factor is the fact that is what I talked about earlier, the fact that digital platforms have created a whole lot of new data sources. And so we are moving in the direction of what is colloquially called big data, but another name for it is administrative data sets. And we are looking for ways increasingly of replacing surveys with administrative data sets. Now, we will not do away with surveys. There are plenty of areas where there's no a good alternative to a well-constructed survey, but there are increasing areas where we are taking the burden off people. So I think part of what the ABS will do will be to continue down that road. And the other element of that is being able to take data sources that are of different aspects of people's lives and link them together to form what is called integrated data sets. And those are becoming increasingly powerful as big data sources are becoming increasingly available.
The ABS, under your leadership, David, through COVID-19, received a lot of credit for the way that it did provide new services to Australian people. Would you like to share something that you're proud of that the ABS did during that time and how it made an impact?
Sure. So I'll tell this story in a little bit of a roundabout way. The last time there was a big kind of economic crisis was the global financial crisis, and I was a deputy secretary in Federal Treasury at the time, and we did not have great data to analyse what was going on in the economy at that time. And the passage of whatever it is, 11, 12 years, meant that there were new opportunities. But it also meant that when the COVID-19 pandemic turned up, I was pretty clear about what people who were going to be in positions to make decisions, the sort of data that they would need. And I was strongly of the view that if we could provide, there's a trade-off between accuracy and speed, and there are times when speed is of the essence. And so we put in the field some small surveys that are less accurate than the surveys that the ABS would normally run, but they can be run really quickly. An example of that was that we started collecting data for a small business survey on the 16th of March 2020, and we republished the results on the 26th of March 2020. And we had never gone from collection to publication in 10 days before. And it told people things. This was early in the pandemic, just as things were gathering steam. It told people things that they had no other way of knowing other than by ringing up their friends and kind of collecting anecdotes. So we put in the field very quickly a bunch of small samples and generated information that was truly revealing for not just for governments, but also for the community about those parts of the economy that were really suffering and what individuals were doing in response to the pandemic.
And if I can paraphrase you a bit, David, I was in conversations with you at that time, and I think one of the things you said was we need to realise we're uniquely positioned to provide some value here, and you should always use your unique positions to help through our service. And I think that's a great piece of advice that can actually be applied in a number of different agencies or for people, even for people in their teams. Like, have a think about what you can offer and find a way to offer that. Looking forward, we're doing a lot of things, as you said, with integrated data. Something that you're looking forward to the ABS delivering on?
So I guess the growth of integrated data assets is generating the possibility of answering research questions you could never tackle before. And there is a sense of making this available to a wider range of researchers, both within the public sector but also in universities. So that's something that I think is a big contribution that we're making. And I guess I'm looking forward to people using our data and finding out things that are surprising and valuable. One other example, I think, is it's a function of the digital revolution. We are in the process of developing an app for small businesses to be able to use, so that rather than asking them a bunch of pesky questions, they will be able to use their accounting software to simply download the answers to us. And so that promises to save small businesses a lot of time. And it also has the promise that we might be able to give back to them some information about where they sit relative to peers. So that's something that we're in the middle of developing, and I'm sort of looking forward to seeing just how much that can deliver.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, David. You've been really generous with your time during your visit to Tasmania, and we really appreciate your time. One final kind of question, or one final bit of advice for our listeners. You've had, I think, a very successful career with APS so far. Surely many more things to come, but I'm sure you've had great advice along the way. Could you share one piece of advice that you've received that you've found particularly valuable?
So I think the piece of advice that I found the most valuable is advice that you're going to be doing this, all things going well, you're going to be working for a long time. So make sure you do something you really enjoy, something that makes you feel like getting up in the morning and going back and doing it again. Because if you're just going through the motions, you're not going to do such a good job and you're not going to enjoy it as much. So follow the things that somebody's got to pay you for this. That part's true. But follow things that really energize you.
Thank you, David. Great advice. Hope everyone enjoyed that podcast today. Look forward to you tuning in again soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Duncan.
Brought to you by IPA Tasmania. This podcast was recorded on the traditional lands of the Muwinina people under the slopes of Kunanya Mount Wellington in Nipaluna, Hobart. We pay our respects to all Aboriginal people and recognise the ongoing custodianship of the Palawa people across the island of Lutruwita, Tasmania.